Welcome to Mount Olive First Pentecostal Holiness Church. Thank you for connecting with us. In just a moment, Pastor Jeff will be sharing an uplifting and encouraging message that we pray will inspire you in your walk with God. Our desire at MOF PHC is for you and your family to find hope in Jesus Christ so that He will transform your life. Thanks again for connecting with us. Please contact us if we can help you discover God's purpose for your life. Enjoy the message.
Here this morning can connect to what our sister just visualized for us in carrying heavy weights in our life, things that we find seem impossible for us to let go of. I know things in life can happen to us, no doubt, no matter who you are. Even as Christians, please hear me. Things can happen in our life that can weigh us down and become baggage for us. And we find it very hard to let those things go. We can have hurts happen to us. We can be humiliated at times. We can be insulted. We could be embarrassed. We could be broken. We could be wounded. We could find ourselves holding on to anger and resentment. All these very negative and unhealthy attitudes that can come and be baggage that will hinder us from growing spiritually in our life. And it really keeps us from experiencing the true joy and peace and freedom that we should have in Jesus Christ. And so with the help of the Lord, and that's the only way you can be set free, for who the Son sets free is free indeed. And through Jesus Christ, and only by His grace and His power, are we able to take the baggage in our life and actually deal with it and let it go and give it to God so we can spiritually move forward in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And so over the next few weeks, I want to just deal with some things I feel like the Lord has really put on my heart for this church, that we can learn through the Word of God how we can let some things go that have happened to us so once and for all we can let it go and not go back to it and pick it up again, but we can have that true freedom in Jesus Christ by giving it to Him. And today, I want to talk to you on this first Sunday here, as the Lord, I felt, has led me to this. I want to preach to you on how we can let go of offense. Let go of offense. Now, we live in a day where everybody seems to get offended about everything. And I just want to right now just say to you, put on some thick skin and don't let everything offend you. In the name of Jesus. People are offended about everything in this day and time. They just take offense at everything. I heard a story about Paul Harvey sharing the story. I don't know if some of you might remember who Paul Harvey is. Some of you are like, who is Paul Harvey? He's one of the apostles. Paul Harvey. Some of you know Paul Harvey. He told a story one time that a young man, a son, was so offended by, he was so ugly when he was born and grew up, he was offended by that and actually sued his parents. That's how ugly he must have been. The guy that I heard about when I was in school all the time, and they said that he's so ugly that mama had to tie a pork chop around his neck to get the dog to play with him. It must be that guy. But he sued his parents because they offended him because he was born so ugly. It's funny we think about that, but we are offended this day and time about everything. Offended by this, offended by that, offended by little things, offended by big things. We're offended by things that happened 20 years ago. We're offended by things that happened 2 months ago, 2 weeks ago. Some of you might be offended about something that happened 2 minutes ago. We live in a day where everybody is just so easily offended. I remember several years ago, I was on my way one evening to go preach a funeral over in Princeton. And over in that area there, I was actually running a little bit late for the funeral, and we were in the center there trying to cross over the westbound lane coming east to go over to where I needed to go. And there was a car there in the median in front of me, and there was finally a break in the traffic, and the car just sat there. And they didn't move. And I'm like, what in the world are they doing? There's a break right here. Go. And I could look up there and tell that the individual was on their telephone. And so the traffic started coming back again, another band of traffic. And we sat there. And then there was finally another break. And the car didn't move again. And so very gently and politely, I beat my horn. And the person in the car in front of me told me I was number one. And they held up a finger to tell me I was number one. And I'll let you guess which finger it was. But just so easily offended. So easily offended. I could have been easily offended. And evidently, this person in that car was easily offended. But guess what Jesus says? In Luke 17:1, Jesus said to his disciples, and this is all followers, listen to what I'm about to tell you now. Jesus said, it is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It is impossible that no offenses should come. In other words, what Jesus is saying, he is saying sooner or later in this life you live, in this world, you are going to be offended. You are going to be offended. Somebody is going to insult you. Somebody is going to rub you the wrong way. Somebody is going to ruffle your feathers. Somebody is going to insult. They're going to wound you. They're going to humiliate you. They're going to embarrass you. Listen, Jesus said in this life, the offenses are going to come. They're going to come. And so how do we respond to it? Well, one, we need to know that the actual word offense here that Jesus uses is a Greek word. It's the Greek word scandalous, which is where we get the word scandal. And when you see the word offense, it means to, as in a scandal, someone is disgraced. And when you offend somebody, you disgrace them. You wound them. You insult them. You humiliate them. And there's another word that describes offense in the Bible as well. And it actually is a picture of a trap. The devil will set a trap for you with an offense. And in that trap, he will fence you in to keep you from growing spiritually, to keep you moving forward with the Lord. Offense. He will take that offense and fence you in and trap you with a bondage that will result in bitterness and resentment and anger. And I'm going to deal with some of those things all over these next few weeks. He would love to keep you fenced in from moving forward. And some of you in this room today, and some of you listening, you have been trapped. You have been fenced in for years and years. And the Lord is saying, you know what? It's time to let it go. It is time to let it go. So you can finally have that true joy, that true peace, and that freedom that we find in Jesus Christ. So I want you to do me a favor. I want you to go into the Old Testament and turn in your Bible to 2 Samuel chapter 6. Starting at verse 12, I'm going to share with you something here from the Bible that will show us how to deal with our offenses, what to do and what not to do when we find ourselves offended, because Jesus said it's impossible that no offenses are going to come. They're going to happen. And so in 2 Samuel chapter 6, let me just give you a little context here real quick. David, King David, he is bringing the Ark of God back to the city of Jerusalem. And there's a great celebration going on. God is moving and working in that kingdom there. And David is rejoicing in what God is doing. It's just the blessing of the Lord is on them. But then there's an offense that takes place in the middle of this celebration. How many of you know you can be walking with God and be in the presence of God and serving God, and you can be offended? And so here in 2 Samuel, starting in verse 12, I'm going to read here. It says, now King David was told that the Lord had blessed the household of Obed-Edom. That's where the Ark of God was at, and David's going to get it. And he's heard that the Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and everything he has. And because of the Ark of God, that was the reason why his house was blessed, because he had the presence of God there. So David went down and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. That's the city of Jerusalem. And when those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken six steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. And David, wearing a linen ephod, he danced before the Lord with all of his might. And while he and the entire household, house of Israel, brought up the ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpet, there's a celebration going on. And as the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, that is actually David's wife, Michal, who was the daughter of Saul, she watched from a window, and when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, the Bible says that she despised him in her heart. She despised him in her heart. She was offended. And when David returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, who was David's wife, came out to meet him and said, "How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, disrobing in the sight of the slave girls of his servants, and as any vulgar fellow would." She's being sarcastic. She's upset. She is despising him. She is disgracing him. And David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes. But by these slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in honor." And Michal, daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. I want you just to dig a little bit deeper with me here as we talk about letting some things go. David is down in the streets, and he is in the streets dancing, and he is shouting, and he is praising the Lord. And unknowingly to him, he has offended his wife, Michal. And it just reminds us that sometimes we can offend people and not even know it. We can offend people and not even know it. You might have offended somebody this morning and don't even know it. And it tells us that those that are who have offended you, they're able to go on through life dancing and rejoicing and celebrating while you're just standing around and carrying around this offense that has resulted in bitterness. And now they're out joyful and out rejoicing and out celebrating. And there you are walking around carrying this baggage of bitterness now, and you're carrying it for years and years and years, and that person may not even know it. And there you are carrying the baggage, carrying it. Sometimes we can offend people and may not even know it. And sometimes we can carry around the offense and that person may not even know it. And bitterness begins to form in us, and it's like cancer. It begins to spread, and it will damage you and it will kill you spiritually. And I want you to notice as well here in this passage that we can also see here, not every time, but the majority of the time, the ones that offend us or the ones that we offend are the people that are closest to us in our life. In David's case here, it was his wife, Michal. It says that she despised him in her heart. In other words, she had been trapped. Now she's fenced in with this bitterness in her life, and now she's carrying it. And sometimes, hear me, not every time, but a lot of times, it's always the person, it's the people closest to you that have offended you or you've offended them. It could be your husband that's offended you by his words or by the way he responded to something. It could be your wife who offended you. It could even be your children that have offended you. It could be a family member that has offended you. It could be a friend or a coworker, and it could even be a brother or sister in Christ that's offended you. But no matter who it is, listen to me, please. No matter who it is, when people offend us, there is a right way to respond and a wrong way to respond. And Michal here, the wife of David, she responded the wrong way. What did she do? She began to use her words to hurt her husband. She began to tear down her loved one with her words. And I'm going to talk about that here sometime soon over these next few weeks. But when we get offended, for whatever reason, there's something in us that triggers us, and we just want to get payback. We want to get revenge. They did that. I'm going to do this. And what happens is we kind of form this plot in our mind that we look for these different ways. How can I disgrace them? How can I pay them back? How can I hurt them? How can I wound them? And we go through this vicious cycle of these plots that we have in our mind is nothing but the devil. And it's almost like the disciples of Christ, when they were offended by the people in Samaria, they looked at Jesus and said, Jesus, what do you want us to do? You want us to call down fire and we'll wipe them out? And some of you are like, yeah, we can't do that. That's the wrong way. That's the wrong way. The Bible says the vengeance belongs to the Lord. The Lord is a just God. He is the one that will pay back what needs to be paid back, and he will defend you, and let the Lord be the one to fight your battles for you. Because what happens is we end up taking matters into our own hand, and we start fighting and going back and forth, bickering, and the devil, there he goes. He has you fenced in. He has you trapped. He's laughing at you because he has pulled you away from Christ. He has hindered you spiritually, and sometimes you don't even realize it because this is all you see. This is all you feel. This is all you know, and you miss out on what God wants to do in your life, and the Bible says, listen, the Bible says never pay back evil for evil, but pay back evil with good. I'm just the mailman delivering the message today now. Don't pay back evil for evil, but pay back evil with good. And McCall here, she was offended. I want you to notice this. And she began to use her words to tear down her husband. And I've noticed this. When people walk around so easily offended, they're some of the most critical people you will ever meet. They're always criticizing somebody. I'm going to mention this right here, but you know, there's a word called slander. They slander people to tear them down, to reduce them. And she was using her words to tear down and to reduce her husband. She was trying to bring shame and guilt upon him with her words. And there may be some people here today, and you've had some words said to you in your face. You've had some words said about you behind your back. And those words will hurt you. Those words will hurt you. How many of y'all are in here, any Fred Sanford and Son fans? You remember when Aunt Esther would come over and Fred and Aunt Esther would get in a little argument back and forth, and Fred would say, sticks and stones may break my bones, or Aunt Esther would say that. Sticks and stones, Fred, may break my bones, but your words will never hurt me. And Fred would say, give me some sticks and stones. Your words do hurt. When you're wounded, when you have been offended, those words, they do hurt. The Bible says that life and death is in the power of the tongue. And words hurt. And then I want you to notice this, that David, and the Bible says that him and all Israel were out rejoicing, they're celebrating, they're singing, they're praising God. But she's not. She's not praising God. She's not celebrating the presence of God. And there's a lesson to be learned. And you need to beware of people that are not celebrating and the goodness of God and the presence of God with you when God is working in your life. When God is doing something great in your life and you see people around you that are not celebrating and they're not cheering you on, I'm telling you, beware of these people. They may be like this wife, McCall. They may despise you in their heart. They may be dealing with jealousy or whatever it may be, but she was offended because of what God was doing in David's life. Instead of celebrating, instead of praising God with David, she was offended. And because of that, don't miss this right here. The Bible says that she, McCall, that after she was offended, it says that she had no children to the day of her death. She had no children to the day of her death. She was carrying this offense, and it just tells me when you carry that offense in your life, that it keeps you from being unfruitful. It keeps you from being unfruitful spiritually in your life. That's what happens when the devil traps you with an offense. He makes you bitter. He makes you unfruitful. The spirit of offense came on this woman, McCall, and she was unfruitful. And we can allow, listen to me, we can allow offense to come, and we can allow it to produce bitterness, and it can grow in us, and the result is going to be an unfruitful life spiritually. You're going to miss out on what God wants to do in you. She should have been in the presence of God. She should have been praising God. She should have been celebrating what God was doing, but the offense kept her from being unfruitful, and she missed out. She missed out on what God wanted to do because she was carrying the baggage of offense. When you go through life easily offended, please hear me, or either you're always offending people, you will be unfruitful. If you're always being offended and you're always going around offending people, you're going to miss out on the presence of God. You're going to miss out spiritually on what God wants to do in your life. I mean, I've seen it happen time and time again, and just to be transparent, I even experienced these things in my own life at different times, and I know many of you had, and I can hear the words right now. They offended me, and I'm going to stay mad with them forever. They offended me, I'm going to hold this grudge forever. I'm going to stay bitter forever. I'm going to despise them in my heart forever. And what happens is it causes you to just be bitter in life and unfruitful in your life, and you miss out on some very precious things. I've seen it. Families missing out on some precious moments together because somebody got offended. Or somebody offended the other. And bitterness came in. I've seen it. Relationships unfruitful in families because nobody won't even talk to each other. Relationships unfruitful because one side is always critical of the other and doing things to tear the other side down. Stop it. In the name of Jesus, stop it. Because all you've done is fallen into the devil's trap, and now division is set in, and the results are broken relationships, families broken, friendships broken, churches broken. It's all unfruitful. Stop it. You got to let it go. And the only way you can let it go is to let God help you to let it go. You got to learn how to let go of the offense. And don't miss out on what God wants to do in your life. Why ain't God working in my life? Well, maybe it's because you're always so offended, or maybe you're going around offending people. Maybe you're so critical and slandering people all the time. Stop it and watch God do a work in you. Refuse to hold on to the offense. You got to make a choice. It is about a choice. You got to make a choice. Are you going to become better, or are you going to become bitter? Because David had a choice to make, and his wife Michal had a choice to make. She made a choice, and she became bitter. David made a choice. He became better. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? And I want to talk to you right here as we wind this thing down on how you can make the choice to be better and not bitter. I want to talk to you about how you can let this offense go of something maybe that's happened in your life. And so number one, here's how. You want to know how? Here's from the Word of God. Number one, all right, remember, I'm just a mailman. You might not like me, but I'm just delivering the Word of the Lord. Amen. Number one, you got to overlook the offense. Overlook the offense. The Bible says in Proverbs 19:11, a man's wisdom gives him patience, but it is to his glory to overlook an offense. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. What does overlook mean? Just look over it. Look over it. Put on some thick skin. Pull them up. The big pants that you got, come on. Big boy pants, you got them. Put on some thick skin and just look over the offense. Don't let every little thing rub you the wrong way. Come on, just let it go off of you and keep moving. Look over it. Look over it in the name of Jesus. That word there in Proverbs 19:11, it says to his glory to overlook an offense. That word glory, when you look at that, it actually is a word that means beauty or beautiful. And it's so encouraging because you're never more beautiful than when you overlook an offense. You want to be beautiful and bring glory to God? Look over the offense. It's a beautiful thing when you can let it go. It's a beautiful thing when you can offer mercy. It's a beautiful thing when you can forgive someone. And I just want to encourage you, friend, let the offense go so God can produce something beautiful in your life. Well, how do I overlook it? Well, this is how David overlooked it. David, how did he overlook it? He stayed in the presence of God. He was near the ark of God. How do you overlook it? You got to keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't keep looking at the offense. Don't keep looking at the baggage. I know it's heavy, but you know what? Don't look at it. Let it down and get in the presence of God. Start dancing, start twirling around, start celebrating and give God the glory and stay near the Lord. Stay near the Lord. I'm not going to let that thing ruin my relationship with God. I'm not going to let that thing hinder me spiritually. No, I'm letting it go. Let it go. You got to overlook the offense. Overlook the offense. And you do that by remaining in the presence of God. That's what David did. He says, I'm going to keep right on celebrating and praising God. And that's what we have to do when we overlook. And then here's another way that you handle and let go of those offenses. You have to deal with them. Deal with our offenses. Sometimes I feel like maybe it's because we live in a culture where everybody, we're just afraid of confrontation. We're afraid of talking to people. We do everything by text now. There's no kind of, hey, you know what? Let's talk together a minute. And for whatever reason, instead of dealing with it, we like to just keep carrying it. We need to be able to deal with the offenses. Now, let me just say something here. You deal with the offense and you make reconciliation with people as much as you can. You may not be able to, but you make the effort. You make the effort. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 5, 23, 24. Jesus said these words here. He says, if you're offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar and first go and be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Friend, listen to me. Sometimes when you've been offended, you got to deal with it. You got to deal with it. You may have to go and talk to the individual as the Lord leads you. I always tell people, pray about it. Seek the Lord. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. But you may have to talk to that person. You may have to deal with it. David had to deal with his wife. Hey, sometimes you got to deal with your wife. She's not in this service. I'll be more nice second service. I told her, I said, you know what? I'm going to deal with you today, honey. I run things in this house. The washing machine, the vacuum cleaner, the dishwasher, all of it. I run it. And she's going to be like, no, you don't. Oh, Jesus. Hey, I'll run that washing machine now. Oh, help me, Lord. Listen, please hear me. If you need to deal with somebody to make reconciliation, don't listen. Just make the effort to apologize. Make the effort to bring reconciliation. Listen, you may be right, but it's about restoring things. Are you going to go to your grave? Well, I was right. And no connection, no relationship with none of your family, none of your friends. I mean, come on, just let it go. And deal with it. And as you deal with it, here's another one I'm giving you here. I'm telling you the Bible. Be kind. Be kind in your offenses. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. The Holy Spirit will help you to express kindness, the fruit of the Spirit. He will help you to display kindness. He'll help you to be kind to your family, to your friends, to your coworkers. He'll help you to be kind to your enemies. Listen, when you're going to them and you're trying to deal with it, don't shout, be kind. If somebody's offended you, don't shout at them, be kind. If somebody has hurt you, don't be critical, be kind. Don't retaliate, be kind. Don't get mad, be kind. Don't cuss them out, be kind. Don't flip them the bird, be kind. Be kind. Be kind to them. As the old saying goes, you kill them with kindness. And then the last thing here, and you may be ready to throw something at me here, is forgive our offenses. Okay, you overlook them, you deal with them, and you're kind in it. And then you have to forgive. You have to forgive. I just read it to you. It says there in Ephesians 4:32, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. The Bible also says this right here. Forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. When someone offends you, let me give you some good advice. Go all Calvary on them. Go all Calvary on them, because Jesus is the greatest example of somebody who was disgraced, somebody who was humiliated, insulted. He was wounded. He was hurt. And what did he do? Even from the cross, he says, Father, forgive them. And what does he tell Peter about forgiveness? He says, I want you to forgive them 70 times seven. 70 times seven. And what he's referring to there is there's no limit to the forgiveness. If they wounded you, offended you, hurt you, humiliated you, you forgive them. And if they do it again, forgive them. If they do it again, let it down. Forgive them. If they do it again, let it go. Forgive them. Just keep forgiving them so you can walk in freedom and you can have the joy and the peace of God. God help us to forgive our offenses. And I know some of you, listen, I would never minimize what some people have been through. I know the offense. I've sat with many of you. I'm transparent in my own life. I know what I have experienced. I know they're heavy. I know it weighs on you. I know you carry it. It's hard to let it go. But I know what it feels like to finally let it down and let it go and walk away from it and not pick it up no more. And I know the peace that comes with that, the joy that comes with that. And that's what God wants for your life. Brother, if you guys want to come. I know some of you are carrying some very deep wounds and some offenses in your life, but you got to let it go by forgiving. You got to let it go by forgiving as Christ forgave you. Is there anybody in here today that's been forgiven by Christ? Raise your hand. You know you have been forgiven. You got to extend that forgiveness to those around you. If you don't, what happens is you fall in the trap of Satan and you're now fenced in. You're fenced in. And you can't go forward with the Lord. Your life is hindered spiritually. And I don't know about you, but I know I have offended people, didn't mean to. Probably sometimes I did and did mean to. I'm sure I've been offended before. Man, but I know right now, you cannot be in the presence of God. You cannot keep praising God and holding on to this mess all at the same time. Man, I mean, I'm telling you, it's one of the hardest things in the world to just keep walking around holding this baggage in your life. I know, you know, many of you know. But the freedom that we have in Christ, knowing that he died on the cross, shed his blood so we could be set free, released from the darkness of the things that have happened in our life. I mean, I'm sure every one of you right now that are walking around with baggage, you could come up here and say, you could almost justify, this is why I'm holding on to it. Don't you think I have a right to hold on to it? Listen, I know. I know it's a deep wound. But friend, God has not intended for you to walk around with this the rest of your life. He wants you to have a freedom. And then, you know, I'm guilty of this right here. I mean, I don't know how you carry this thing around. You're not going to hide it. I mean, you can try to disguise it all you want to and put some things around it, but it's there, and people, you start talking long enough, people hear it in your voice. They hear how critical you are all the time. They hear how negative you are all the time. They hear how you slander people all the time. It's there. You're trying your best to cover it up, but I'm telling you right now, friend, when you get around people, they see it, and there you are carrying it, trying to hold on to it and hide it and trying to get through life. Listen, just let it go. Just let it go. So you can have your hands free. You can worship the Lord. It's not hindering you. And I believe God wants to do that today. Would you do me a favor? Would you just bow your head right there where you are? Nobody looking around. And I don't want nobody moving around right now. I don't want nobody leaving right now. This is going to be a time right here where God is going to work a miracle.
And the Lord is going to help you to release the offense, to release it, to release the bitterness, to release it. Nobody looking around. I just want to get the Lord's heart and mind here on how he wants to pray and close in this service. I wonder if there's anybody here, right here in this house today, and you have been walking around, some of you for months and some of you for years, and there's an offense that has happened in your life by family or friends or somebody, and it's made some very unfruitful relationships and broken some things, and because of that, you have missed some very precious moments together as a family, or even beyond that to your friendships. And you would be honest enough this morning to say, I want to be free. I want to be free from the hurt and the wounds of these offenses. And I need you to pray for me. Would you do me a favor and raise your hand right there where you are? God bless you. Hold them up. Hold them up. God bless you. 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 God help you. You can put your hands down. I want everybody just to stand right there where you are. Just stand. Lord, please guide us. If you're here this morning and you're desperate to be free from this, you're desperate for the release out of this thing in you that keeps gnawing at you and hurting you and hindering you, and you want to be free, and you just want to be prayed with and prayed for. Maybe you've had an offense happen to you, or maybe there's something else, a wound or hurt or insult or whatever, embarrassment, humiliation. You've been disgraced and you want to be free from it. I'm asking you right now. I know this is probably going to be one of the hardest things you've ever done in your life, but would you just do me a favor? I saw hands go up all over this place. Would you get out as quick as you can and come right here and just stand with me at the altar? Come on, I stand with you. Come, I saw hands go up. I saw hands go up. I saw hands go up. Please, please obey the Lord. Please, I truly believe God is getting ready to set people free right now. Hallelujah. Come, come, come. I saw hands up all over the place. Come, come. Hallelujah. I need every prayer warrior. I need every deacon. I need every elder. I want you to come and stand with somebody. Please come, come, come. Pastors, come. Come, pray with somebody. Come, stand with somebody. Come. There's people all around us all right now. They've been wounded. They've been hurt. And I want you to pray. Those of you at the altar right now that have come forward, I want you to do me a favor. Look up at me real quick, please. We're going to pray. I want you to do me a favor. I just sense God put that on my heart this morning. I want you to make a fist, and I want you to hold it out just like this right here. Just make a fist just like this right here. You've been in a grip. Your spirit's been in a grip. You've been holding on to things. You've been holding on to some baggage that has been heavy to you. It has hurt you. It has hindered you. And right now, God is saying, I want you just to release it. Just open your hand. Release it. Let it go.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, right now, by the Spirit of God, I am letting it go. I am letting it go. I have opened my hand. I am letting it go.
Yes.
It is down. I'm not going to pick it back up. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray right here, God. Lord, that you would do a miracle in every heart, every soul right now, God. Lord, free them. Release them in the name of Jesus. Release them in the name of Jesus. My hand is free. Devil, you have me in a trap no longer. I have been set free from this fence. And now I can move. I can soar. I can sail forward with you, Jesus. I can dance in your presence. I can keep praising in your presence, God. This wound, this offense is not going to have control over my life anymore. That today, right now, I am free. Come on, pray that right now. I receive that. Jesus Christ, by your grace, by your mercy, by your power, God, that you would just bring true joy and peace and freedom over everyone around this altar right now. I release it in the name of Jesus. I release it right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, I release it now in your name.